And my special guest was born in Sydney and started playing the piano at the age of 4. He studied with Mike Nock at the Sydney Conservatorium and also with Mark Copeland in New York City. He won the 2006 National Jazz Awards, and his debut recording, Land Tides, was released on the celebrated Swiss record label Hat Hut. He's currently collaborating with the ensemble known as the Compass Quartet, with the release of their latest album, Oneirology. Jackson Harrison, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks, Frank. Nice to be here.
Jackson, tell us how you grew up with music. What music did you hear at home, and where did you get your inspiration and encouragement to play music from such a young age? I mentioned the age of 4.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I came from a musical family as such, but I guess I came from a family that likes the arts, and my dad was a guitarist. He is a guitarist. He plays guitar. He's got a very good ear. So there were always guitars lying around. And the story is that I think, you know, when I was about 4, I apparently begged my parents for a piano because I was, you know, going to friends' houses and enjoying playing their pianos. But that was pretty much it. And it was quite, you mentioned the word encouragement. I was encouraged. I was never really pushed. I just kind of had an interest in music, and that it was just something that was there and in my childhood, basically. So I'd play, just muck around on the guitar. I took some guitar lessons, took piano lessons, of course. I did a lot of things by ear. So I was studying, on the one hand, classical piano, but I would always be playing by ear and just making up my own music, listening. If I saw something on the TV that I liked, I'd rush up to the piano and try and play it and all that kind of stuff. Dad had a pretty interesting record collection that I used to go through. So everything from the Beatles, Dylan, Jimi Hendrix to Bach, you know, Bach organ works and symphonies. I think there was some Grieg pieces in there somewhere, and just from memory. And yeah, so it was just, it wasn't any big deal really. It was just kind of what I did. And
so you didn't really need encouragement at all. It was something that you loved to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that is a factor in relation to, you know, whether some people go on and pursue the career of music if they're pushed, as opposed to sort of you know, subtly encouraged?
Yeah, I think it can work either way. I think you can be just left to your own devices and then end up, you know, falling in love with music and having that passion, and then, you know, going on to be a professional musician. Or you can be, I think I've seen cases of people who've been pushed as a child, and then maybe they get to a certain point where they resent that, but then they have a lot of training and they end up getting over that and becoming professional musicians anyway. So it depends on the individual, I think.
Now, your major influences in music, are they necessarily piano players?
Not necessarily, but I mean, quite a few of them are, of course.
So who are they?
When I was in high school, I started listening to Oscar Peterson quite a lot. He was probably my first pianistic sort of influence. Bill Evans, I listened to a lot. McCoy Tyner, the usual suspects, basically. But as I said, a pretty wide, I just love music in general. So, and even to this day, I still listen to all types of music. I went to a Wagner festival in Germany a couple of years ago to see some operas, and yeah, so just pretty much everything.
The sheer number of talented pianists Australia now enjoys, are the performing opportunities in Australia, are they increasing or decreasing? There are a lot of you out there.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, it's great, actually.
And, of course, they're coming across from New Zealand.
Every generation. Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. I mean, even in Sydney, just in Sydney alone, there's so many fantastic. I mean, when I was in my early 20s and at the conservatorium, you know, it was great to have people even only, say, 10 years older who were very generous with their time. It's a great city to be a piano player in, and performance opportunities. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think the ones that are around have been around for quite a while. You know, festivals and clubs and things like that. Things pop up here and there, but as you were mentioning earlier, the new club
Foundry 616
will be would be fantastic.
Now, composing music, Jackson, can we talk about that? How easy does that come for you?
Well, I've done a lot of it. I mean, I guess I came to it quite late because I only really started writing for other people when I was at the conservatorium. I think once you've done that once and had your work played by another person or a group, then you're kind of on track then because it's quite a satisfying thing. And for me, it's just an intuitive thing. I mean, obviously I've taken lessons and I'm reasonably slightly studied, but ultimately, it's a sort of an intuitive process for me. And whether it's for saxophone quartet or piano pieces or, my trio, other people's, I wrote a piece for the Mike Nock Project a few years ago, which was, I think, an 8 or a 9 piece band.
And is it easy for you to, when you're at the piano, I guess contextualize something in a much larger ensemble when you're actually playing it to yourself?
Yeah, I think that comes just with experience, such as my experience is. It's just something you learn to do in your head, probably. Maybe trial and error as well.
Yes,
Jumping in the deep end.
certainly must be an interesting concept, though, to have that happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, even for this particular project, I'd never written for a saxophone quartet before, but I'm quite reasonably familiar with the various saxophones, so I guess I sort of just put it together in my head.
Now, you mentioned earlier when you were young and hearing something on the television and rushing to the piano to try and see if you could play it. I wonder whether you can recall and possibly describe your earliest experience of the realization of actually improvising yourself.
Well, that's an interesting question. I think for me, it was one of those things that I didn't really know I was doing until later. I mean, it wasn't something I started trying to do. It was what I always just did. And when I say playing things that I heard, I'd muck around with it as well. Not in any really serious way until later. But it was probably in about, in high school, year 7 was when I started playing in a band. And that was when I guess, started improvising in a group.
How did that make you feel when you knew you could actually do that, as opposed to, well, let's say just a garage rock band that probably, rarely improvises?
Well, it might sound a bit glib, but I didn't really think that much about it. It's just something I love to do. So there was no real sense of
Accomplishment or
accomplishment or achievement there. Yeah, it was just something I enjoyed doing.
You won the 2006 National Jazz Award. That must have been quite satisfying for you. What sort of opportunities does that present to you? How important is that to your career?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a competition, but everybody knows each other, and it's a good chance to play, and it's a really good environment, and everyone's really, you're basically friends with everyone there anyway. So it was lovely, but anything like that, I guess, helps just getting your music out to the listener. That's pretty much it. There's nothing that complicated about it, but so anything like that is good in that sense.
Jackson, your role in this collaboration is quite focused, given you're surrounded by four saxophones and you're the pianist. And of course, it's music that's built on musical perceptions of the Christopher Nolan film Inception. Now, can you briefly give us a synopsis on this film? It's about dreams and the subconscious, isn't it?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because I actually haven't seen the film.
Okay.
So I think my part in the collabor—I mean, the my part in the collaboration is in this particular piece is probably more to do with my playing, and there's improvised sections in the piece which I guess I bring my little input there and also improvise with Jeremy. So as far as the composition goes, I guess that would. Jeremy would probably be able to answer that
Yes.
better,
Yes.
but I could say in a general way, I think the relationship between the piece and the science of dreaming, I guess, is what it's about, is probably just to do with how he connects the musical material, because of course dreams have a way of making connections in ways that you'd never know in terms of imagery and
Well, that's right. The cover of the album has a sleeping head and a square window with what I think is a seagull flying through.
I think it's an Arctic
Tern. An Arctic Tern. There you go.
Yeah.
flying out of that window. So that gives us a little bit of an insight as to the feeling that is trying to be portrayed here. Daydreamer is another piece. Dream within a dream. Reality check. Deja vu. Associated with, sounds like quite an interesting film actually, Inception. I guess, can you tell us whether there are any particular conscious adaptations to the way you play when you're surrounded by four saxophones? Do you feel as though you've played in a different fashion being in this context? They've provided you with a wonderful bed of harmony.
Yeah, although of course sometimes the opposite is the case as well. I would be sort of providing a bed for them as well, which is one of the interesting things about all the pieces and how the instruments fit together.
True.
Broadly speaking, it was the same. So as any other ensemble, I guess you're just playing trying to find a nice tone and a good balance with whoever you're playing with, whether it's a double bass and set of drums or a saxophone quartet. I think the saxophone is often said a very vocal instrument. And I mean, as a piano player, you're always taught to play in the classical stream with a vocal tone, which is always a bit of a sleight of hand because you can't really do that. It's quite a percussive instrument, so I guess for me it was interesting to try and fit in with four extremely vocal instruments. Having said that, there's a lot of freedom because the tone is so different. I'm never going to get in the way by playing in a similar register or anything like that, so there's a lot of freedom there. I also like the balance between the improvised parts and the written parts. That gave me a lot of freedom to be creative.
It's certainly becoming an area that is being explored more and more, isn't it? That relationship between notated and improvised and melding them into pieces. And sometimes for the listener, it's hard to tell what is notated and what is improvised.
And I think for me, I noticed that particularly with Mike Nock's large ensembles. He has quite an amazing way of doing that. I think because he plays in a very compositional way as well, by which I mean his musical structures have a very strong sort of foundation that could be composed. So I have noticed that before, particularly in Mike's larger ensemble works.
What particular qualities of your playing, then, do you think Jeremy was looking for when he chose you for this particular role?
Oh, really? That's a tough one. I don't know. Well, we've worked together for quite a long time, and we know each other's playing quite well and very comfortable, and, you know, Jeremy's a very good friend of mine, so I think maybe there's a level of...
rapport.
Yeah, trust there. So that's probably one of the things.
Well, it's a fine album. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Jackson Harrison, thanks very much for joining us in the studio tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.